Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
A cynical world. And we work in a business of tough competitors. I love you. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
Open your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 2. We are starting a new series this week called It's Complicated: Love, Sex, Dating, and Marriage. How many of you are on Facebook? Raise your hand. Quite a number of you. You know, on the status bar, there's a place, I guess, you can designate your status. And some of the choices are single, in a relationship, engaged, married. But probably the most interesting choice of them all is it's complicated. It's complicated. And, you know, sometimes relationships can be complicated. We're going to begin a series this morning that talks about love, sex, dating, and marriage. And this series is going to be kind of focused towards singles. Back this fall, during the October, we did the family series focusing on families and parenting. This month, we want to focus on singles, but I can guarantee there will be enough principles for those of us who are married. There's going to be enough nuggets for us that we can take and apply to our lives. But the whole topic of love, sex, dating, marriage is complicated because in our society, there are thousands and thousands of voices about romantic relationships. Our society is engrossed with love and romance and sex. Everywhere you turn, media, TV, television, music, it's all there. I just went to the top 40 countdown this week. I counted I just took the first 10 songs, the top 10 songs. 9 of the top 10 have to deal with love, sex, or dating. 9 out of 10. The titles are number 1, We Found Love by Rihanna. Number 2, It Will Rain. Listen to the verse of this, of It Will Rain. If you ever leave me, baby, leave some morphine at my door. Because it would take a whole lot of medication to realize what we used to have. We don't have it anymore. That's what our society thinks. Number 3, The One That Got Away. And they're not talking about going fishing, okay? Number 5, Sexy and I Know It. About explains it right there. Number 6, Without You. And it says, I can't win, I can't reign, I will never win this game without you. Without you, I'm lost, I am vain, I'll never be the same without you, without you. Number 7, I think is maybe my favorite, it's Love You Like a Love Song. Constantly, boy, you played through my mind like a symphony. There's no way to describe what you do to me. You just do to me what you do. And it feels like I've been rescued, I've been set free. I'm hypnotized by your destiny. You're magical, lyrical, beautiful. You are, I want you to know, baby, that I love you like a love song. Isn't that nice? Number 8, Set Fire to Rain. Number 9, Stereo Hearts. It says, my heart is a stereo and it only plays for you. I mean, wouldn't that be a nice Valentine? If you're giving someone a stereo, maybe put that on there, okay? And number 10, Domino, a very, very sad song, a very immoral song dealing with sex. And so our society is inundated, and we have all these different voices. And the thing is, many of us have not heard a biblical, godly viewpoint when it comes to love, sex, dating, and marriage. We need a balanced approach. As a church, we need to address these topics. It's like I knew of a college graduate, grew up in a Christian home, getting married in 2 weeks. 2 weeks before the wedding, his dad comes to him and says, "Son, if there's anything that you want to know about marriage and the honeymoon, you can ask me." And it's like, "Thanks, Dad, but I think I've got it covered, okay? You know, I've had premarital counseling and all that." But a lot of times in our families, even in our Christian homes, we haven't approached the topic of love, sex, and dating. We haven't been discipled in it ourselves, so we don't know how to approach it with our kids. And we have a whole generation that doesn't know about it. And so we need to talk about these things in the church context. And that's what we're going to be doing the next few weeks. And today, we are going to look at the Jerry Maguire myth. Okay? The Jerry Maguire myth. What we just saw, the video clip we just saw, was from the movie Jerry Maguire. And at the end of the film, Maguire, who's kind of a workaholic, who's neglected his wife, realizes the importance of his marriage. He comes home and he says, "You know, I love you. You complete me." And, oh, it's such a wonderful moment. It's the best talking group. And it makes for a great movie and really romantic. But there is a subtle philosophy that that statement perpetuates that sometimes we don't even catch. And that philosophy is that it takes another person to make us complete and whole. It takes us to be in a romantic relationship for us to be accepted and valued, fulfilled and satisfied. If we don't have it, then we are empty. And our society does a good job at making singles feel like if you don't have someone in your life, then there's something wrong with you. You're missing something. You are incomplete and you need someone. It happens in our junior highs and high schools. If you're not in a dating relationship, there's something wrong with you. It was that way when I was a kid. It's that way now. If you don't have someone, what's wrong with you? And friends, we are going to look at this myth a little bit today. We're going to unpack it and learn what the Bible says about being complete and being satisfied. I want us to look at our text this morning, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 6, but I want to start instead with the last verse, verse 10. Then we're going to come back to the verse 6. Verse 10 says, "You are complete in Him," referring to Jesus, "who is the head of all principality and power." So Christ is the head of everything. He's in charge. I'll keep that in mind as we now start in verse 6. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord," Paul's talking to Christians. He's saying, you've received Christ. You're born again, Jesus in your life. "So walk in Him." The word "walk" implies continuing and abiding. It's not that you just raise your hand some Sunday, come forward, say a prayer, and then you walk out the door and do whatever you want again. No, you walk in Jesus. Everywhere you go, Jesus is with you. There is a continuing. There is a remaining with Him. There is an intimacy. There is a developing of the relationship. In our society, we have made salvation, a walk with God, very flippant, that you just say a prayer and it's done and over. But instead, God wants us to walk with Him. And then it says, rooted in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Our faith needs to be rooted. I think of a plant that is growing. When a plant is new, you can easily pluck it up out of the ground. But as a plant grows and it develops roots, it's more difficult. Our roots, our faith needs to be growing, getting deeper, so that it's planted, it's rooted, and it's established. It is strong, so that just when the slightest thing comes along, we're not going to be yanked out and we're going to lose out on what we have with God. We need stability and security. And then Paul says, as you have been taught, we need to be open to other people teaching and speaking into our lives. That's the importance of being faithful in a body. And it says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We need a thankful spirit of praise to God. And then he gives a warning. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, about the basic principles of the world. You see, friend, the ways of the world are deceiving. Satan uses our culture to try to lead us out of God's path and out of God's ways. They're many times the opposite of God. Or maybe there's a little bit of truth, but then they skew it just a bit and they take it off course. And we need to be aware of that. And it says that these things are not according to Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. If you're taking notes this morning, on the back of your bulletin, point number one, nobody can make you happy. Nobody can make you happy. The Jerry Maguire myth says that somebody, the right person, can make you happy. The right person can fulfill you. The right person can complete you and satisfy your every need. You complete me. But that is not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? We are complete in Christ. I don't need a relationship to make me satisfied. We will never find happiness in other people. Never. People will always disappoint us. I want you to think about King Solomon, okay? We are told in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, that Solomon, get this, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Boy, that is a lot of Valentine cards to write. By the way, gentlemen, Valentine's is like 9 days away, okay? You might want to be thinking about something. We're here to save marriages. Yes, we are. So Valentine, remember that. But Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And this is the thing. Many times back in Bible times, kings would marry, have a lot of marriages because they would marry the nations that were around them to have political stability. Because if I marry into this family, if I take the daughter of this guy, of this king, then he's not going to attack me. Because if he does attack me, I've got his daughter and his grandkids, and I can do something to him. You're not going to want to attack family. You don't do that. I mean, maybe verbally, but you don't go after him. And so kings would marry. But friends, honestly, there were not 700 nations around Solomon, okay? How many know that this wasn't just a political thing? And even if there were 700 nations, where did the 300 concubines come in? I mean, Solomon was looking for someone to complete him. And he couldn't find it. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And he goes on and he talks about everything. And he had riches, he had wealth, he had possessions, and he had ladies. And he was not satisfied. This is the thing. If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. The flesh is never satisfied. In fact, Ecclesiastes 7:28, Solomon says, my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Solomon was saying, I am not complete, and I've had as many women as I want. People don't complete us. If we try to complete our life with physical things, we are going to be incomplete. And when we do find a person, that relationship is going to be incomplete because relationships don't complete us. The flesh is never satisfied. That's why pornography doesn't satisfy. It always wants more. You start out in soft core, you get harder, you go hardcore. It will develop, it will take over your life because our flesh is never satisfied. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5:10-11, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is vanity, because when your goods increase, they increase who eat them. In other words, the more we get in life, the more we want. The more we get, the more we want. The things of this world will not satisfy, and that includes relationships. If you're single here today, don't buy into the myth that someone can complete you and make you whole. Because there are people, you see this on college campuses all over. You see this with young people. They go in one relationship, and when that relationship doesn't complete them and make them happy, then they go to another one, and then they go to another one. We're always looking. You see it in marriages. We're happy, and we're not happy anymore. You don't complete me anymore, so now I'm going to someone else to complete me. And then you complete me for a while, and then you don't complete me, so I go to another one. If we are trying to get completion from a person, it is going to wreak devastation and destruction in our lives. And that is a myth that society tells us, and we can't buy into it. It's one of those deceptive, empty philosophies that Paul talked about in Colossians chapter 2. Don't buy in them. It's not according to Christ. Psalm 16:11, it says, you, referring to God, will show me the path of life. Listen to this. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Friends, real joy, real contentment, real happiness comes from an abiding relationship, a walking relationship with Jesus, one that is growing so that it's rooted and established, and you're realizing how great God is all the time. He's on my focus. I just can't get him out of my mind. Oh, he's so good to me. And it's not a boy, it's God. And when you have that mindset, you are abounding in thanksgiving, as Colossians talked about, because he's the stereo. Oh, yeah, he plays my heart. Oh, yeah. You can laugh, that's all right. We are complete in him. This is the thing. My happiness is my responsibility. It's not my wife's responsibility to make me happy if I'm not happy. It's not my children's responsibility to make me happy if I'm unhappy. Now, does my family do things at times that could get me perturbed? Oh yeah, that happens to all of us, but my reaction to that is my choice. I cannot blame anyone else for my happiness. And that's part of the Jerry Maguire myth, is that you are responsible for making me whole. And so when you don't do that anymore, I now leave you and I go to someone else who will. And that's the mentality of our society. And we need to realize that my happiness is my responsibility. And the only way I'm going to get it is if I find fullness of joy in his presence. Does that make sense? All right, good. Hey, the kids got it. You can get it. And so we need to realize I can only be happy when I put Christ first. Did you realize that Jesus lived 33 years, never had a girlfriend, never had sex, and yet he was happy and fulfilled? Amen. You can be fulfilled as a single. You can be fulfilled. You don't need someone to complete you. You don't need someone to complete you. The Apostle Paul, this is what he said. He was single. He lived a full, satisfying life as a single man his entire life. He lived quite a bit longer than Jesus. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 7:7-9. I wish that all men were even as myself, single, unmarried. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Friends, Jesus and Paul led happy, satisfied, complete lives. Why? Because completion doesn't come for a person, and they realize that. We need to take responsibility for our own happiness and not try to get someone else to fulfill that in our lives. That is the first myth that we need to tear down from Scripture that our society tells us we need, is that someone else makes me happy. No one can make you happy. Let's look at number two. Number two in our notes is there is no perfect person out there. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not perfect. And then say, right back at you. The Jerry Maguire myth says that there is a perfect person out there who fulfills you, who completes you. When we are driven by the desire to find a perfect person, it will hurt us. Look at Romans chapter 3. If you think people are perfect, you're going to find the perfect person. This is what God says about the perfect person. I'm going to start in verse 10, Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. So no person's profitable to you. They're all unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, God is perfect, and the word says, all have fallen short. No one is perfect. There was one time a pastor, he was preaching, and he was talking about that none of us have arrived, none of us have attained. He says, God, forgive us of all of our falling shorts. And then he had to realize what he said, okay? All of us have fallen short, okay? And in this society, there's a lot of people that need to wear a belt because they've got falling shorts, okay? No one is perfect. You won't find the perfect person. And that's what happens. We jump out of one relationship into another looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right, thinking they will complete me. But the thing is, all of us are sinners by nature. That's what Scripture says. All of us have the poison of asps in our lips. And there's times when we bite each other and clamp down, and that venom goes in and it hurts. It doesn't matter who it is. And so you can leave one person and go to another, and you're still going to get bitten, because that is the condition of mankind. It says that none seek after God. We are all selfish. All of us have erected other gods before Him. We make other things more important than God. That makes us all idolaters and selfish. It says none of us have done good. We are murderers. Did you know Jesus said that if we hate someone, we've committed murder in our heart? How many of you have ever had bitterness towards someone? I think if we're honest, probably all of us. That means we've murdered someone. Have you ever lusted over someone? Jesus said, if you lust, you've committed adultery. Oh, man, it's getting quiet in here. You know, Jesus said, our throats are open tombs. Our tongues have practiced deceit. All of us are liars. Our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. We take God's name in vain. We've sworn, done filthy language in conversation. That is the condition of mankind when we are without Christ. And so if we are looking at finding a perfect person, and this is the thing, when we do become saved, It then is I need to surrender myself to the grace of God. The grace of God is not just God's favor where he forgives us, but it is his enabling power. Grace is the ability to do what is right. And I need to surrender myself to God's grace today and say, I am denying myself. I am dead to sin. I am alive to God. And I'm letting this grace that he's given to me as a gift give me power to do the right thing today. But I have to make a choice. It's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't fall into what the world says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Because as I yield myself to God every day, it makes me more like Jesus, who is perfect. This is the thing. Instead of us focusing on finding the right person and being perfect, or finding the perfect person, we need to focus on being the right person and becoming like the perfect one, Jesus Christ. Because no one is perfect. I can't find the perfect person. I need to work on myself. And if I work on myself, then I can trust God to take care of the rest. Sometimes God knows I'm not ready for a romantic relationship. I need growth and maturity in my life. You let God take his time. Don't feel you need someone to complete you. Don't buy into that myth. Begin to let Christ complete you and find your joy and your peace and your inner well-being come from a relationship with him, and I can trust him in everything. He's taking care of my life. We need to focus on character and calling and not chemistry. It is so easy in our society. Oh man, I really get along with her. Oh, we get along great. We have this great chemistry together. Friends, chemistry is deceiving. Because many times, the very thing that attracts you to that person, when you get married and you've been with them a while, that thing now begins to tick you off. Let me give you an example. When you're dating, oh, he's so fun. He's the life of the party. Oh, we have like such a great time together. But you get married and now he's never serious. He's never on time. He's so laid back, you're pulling your hair up because, man, we've got bills to pay, we've got responsibilities, and he's just having a great time now. Or, man, they're so neat, they take care of, they're so organized and stuff. Man, I love that because I'm a little disorganized, I need that in my life, and so that attracts us to them. But then we leave a pair of dirty underwear laying around, and they don't like that, and we forget to hang our coat up, we didn't put the cap on the toothpaste, or we close it from the middle and not from the end. And the Mr. Organizer misorganizes, it has to be this way, and the more laid back person says, no, it doesn't. And the thing that drew you together now becomes a point of contention. And I see some of you smiling at each other. You know what I'm talking about. What is perfect today will not be perfect tomorrow. Chemistry is deceiving. And that's why we can't base a relationship saying, oh, we got this great connection. Friends, you can have chemistry with thousands of people. You can have chemistry with thousands of people. When you're looking at relationship, don't look at chemistry, this perfect match. Look for character and look for calling. Does what God want you to do and what God have them to do line up? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is character. The kingdom of God is calling. All of us are called to be ministers building the kingdom of Christ. That's what we need to look for in our relationships. You know, there is even marriages where sometimes we get sidetracked from character and calling. We get sidetracked from the righteousness of God and building the kingdom. And when we get off those two things, it causes our marriage to experience problems. When you put God's character first in your life and God's kingdom, His agenda first, there's no room for individual agendas, and you're working together instead of working apart trying to fulfill your own needs. We got to be careful about just doing what we want and relying upon chemistry to make us complete and whole, because it will cause us to be in trouble. You will not change them to become perfect. There once was a bride, and she was very nervous in front of people. And they were getting married in this big, beautiful cathedral, but it was long. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Princess Diaries 2, the wedding, and they had that long chapel, think of it like that, okay? And the bride was terrified because all these people are going to be looking at me. And the wedding coordinator said, okay, what you have to do, you can't see your groom because everyone's standing. You're not going to see him. You just got to focus on the aisle. You just look at the aisle. You get about halfway down, then look at the altar. And when you get about 15 feet from the altar, then you look at your groom. Look at your honey. Look at your sweetheart, okay? So she's trying to remember this. She's going through this. And as she's walking down the aisle, she goes, aisle, altar, him. Aisle, altar, him. Aisle, altar, him. Aisle, altar, him. I'll alter him. I will alter him. Friends, you're not going to change your spouse. If there's something that's bugging you now, don't think that, oh, you're going to change him. If you have to drag him to church now, you're going to have to drag him to church later on. If they're not a person that's of purity now, they're not going to be a person of purity later. If they're not into the Word of God and praying and being a passionate spiritual follower of Christ now, they're not going to be when you get married. You won't change them. Look at what they're doing now. Don't look at what they promised to do. Past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior. What are they doing now? So many times, girls or guys, and a lot of times it seems maybe more on the girls, they say, well, things will change when we get married. It'll be different. I know a lady. She loved God, had a call to the mission field. But the boy she was dating, he didn't. And yeah, he came to church, but he didn't have the same spiritual passion that she had. But she said, that'll change. They got married and he stopped going to church, got into gambling, got into other things, and just she wanted to go for God and he didn't, and it kind of held her back. And they had kids and he wasn't the spiritual leader. She was the one taking the kids to church, getting them up every Sunday, being alone. She stayed faithful to him because he wasn't unfaithful maritally. She stayed faithful to him for 30 years. And finally, after many times of going to the altar and then falling back and going and falling and going, finally, about 8 years ago, he really committed his life to Christ. And the past 8 years have been wonderful. He passed away this last fall. And they had I know they loved each other and they were committed, but she shared with me, she shared in a singles group at how much pain her life had because she didn't look at the warning signs before she was married. She thought it would change and get better. And friends, it doesn't. It gets worse. And sometimes when we're in a relationship, we've got this chemistry, and we're afraid to give it up because what if there's nobody else? What if this is my last shot? I don't want to be an old maid. I don't want to be a eunuch. I don't want to go through life alone. And so we ignore the flags that the Holy Spirit is showing us, and we proceed, and then we bring pain upon our lives. Don't think you'll change. You won't find the perfect person, and you won't make them perfect. If they're not open and letting God move on their life and making them perfect, you're not going to do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you any red flags. The last point, I'd like your musicians to come this morning. We're going to wrap this up. Completeness comes from passionately following Jesus. Completeness comes from passionately pursuing Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read it again. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it in thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, the Jerry Maguire myth, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, what the world tells you to do, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Friends, that word complete, it means to fill up, to make full, to furnish or supply liberally, to cause to abound, to satisfy. In Bible times, if something was kind of hollowed out, it meant that you filled it up and you leveled it off so that there was no emptiness in it. It was a term that fishermen used when their nets were full. And it's interesting, in Luke chapter 5:7, when they'd been fishing all night and the nets were empty, Jesus said, throw it out on the other side. The word that says the nets were full, that is the root word from which this word is complete comes from. Friends, when you are in Christ, following Jesus, making Him number one, where He is the principality, the head of everything, He is over you and you've surrendered to Him, He fills your life, He gives you fullness, He gives you abundance. It's not in a person, it's not in possessions, and not in anything of this world. Completeness comes from Jesus. I want to just talk to our singles for a moment here. Are you content with being single? And I'm not saying your whole life, because I know many of us, you'd say, I want to get married, but I'm saying right now at this moment, are you content with being single? Because I can guarantee if you're not content, you're going to be looking for someone to complete you. And I want to just encourage you today to find your completeness in Jesus. Let Him be your lover. I am my beloved's, and He is mine, and His banner over me is love. And find your satisfaction and your contentment in a deep, abiding, rooted, established relationship with Him. Because that's the only way you'll ever be complete. There may be some of you here today, you're married. I want to talk to the marrieds for a moment. And maybe you've been relying upon your spouse to make you complete and make you happy. It's not your husband's job, ladies. It's not your wife's job, men. You can't blame them if you're not fulfilled. You need to focus on being the right person, being the perfect person for them. Heard a story one time of a man who hated his wife. He lost that love and feeling. He was all done and it was gone. And they went to a counselor, and the counselor said, he hated his wife, and he says, you want to get your wife? This is what I want you to do. I want you, for the next month, I want you to just lavish your wife, treat her like a queen, buy her flowers, get her gifts, write love notes to her, take her out on dates, take her out to eat, let her go shopping, do all these things, treat her like a queen. And then at the end of 30 days, tell her you're divorcing her and walk out of her. She'll be crumbled, she'll be shattered, and it's done, it's over. So the man says, I'll do that, because he hated his wife, wanted out of the relationship. He says, I'm going to do that. So he starts buying her gifts, buying her flowers, writing her notes, wrote her a love song, wrote her poems, went out for dinner, went on a weekend, got away. At the end of the 30 days, came back to the counselor, and the counselor says, okay, you ready to divorce her? He says, no. And the counselor says, well, why? And he says, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. She's a queen. She's awesome. She's great. Love is a choice. And when we start acting like a perfect person, like the husband that Christ wants us to be, like the wife that Christ wants us to be, then we leave the rest up to Him. And God can change us. So many times we say, Lord, change my situation. Give me a miracle. When God's saying, no, Gideon, you be the miracle. You be the miracle in your relationship. Now remember, if you're not married yet and you see all these things, hey, they're not going to change, all right? I'm talking to marrieds here. Got to distinguish that. I'm going to close this morning. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. None of us are righteous. None seek after God. We're all unprofitable. We all have fallen short. We are in need of rescuing from our sin. When Jesus came and died on the cross, it restored our ability for the image of God to be restored. But even then, we can't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Only as we die daily to self, make our bodies a living sacrifice, renew our minds according to Scripture, can you and I become the people, the right person that God wants us to be. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ's salvation. You have not confessed your sin, but you realize today you are a sinner. But Jesus loves you so much that He took the penalty for your sin, for my sin. He died on the cross, and He loves you. And this morning you'd say, I need Jesus to take my sin away. I'm not a perfect person. I realize I have fallen short. I need Him to forgive me. You will not find happiness in life until you surrender your life to Him and let Him be in control. And you turn from your sin, from your selfishness. If you're here this morning, you'd say, I need to come to Christ. I need to be rescued from my sin. I need to turn to Jesus and give Him the leadership of my life. I'd like you to raise your hand and then put it down this morning. Anyone here today? I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, I need to give my life to Him. He needs to be in charge. I see that hand. Thank you. I'm going to say this prayer right now. I'd like every one of you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I am not good. I am full of sin. I'm wicked. And my wickedness put you on the cross. Forgive me for my lies. Forgive me for my cursing. Forgive me for my filthy talk. Forgive me for my murderous bitterness. Forgive me for my lustful adultery. Forgive me of all my unrighteousness. I need you to make me clean. And I make you the head of my life. You're in control. I want to seek after you. Change my heart. Give me your grace. And give me your power to become the person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, rescuing me from my sin. Maybe you're here today and you don't feel very complete in Him. Maybe you're single and you feel empty. You feel like you're missing out. You feel like a second-class Christian. You know, a lot of times the church treats singles like second-class Christians, not accepting them in our circles. I like you want to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you're single this morning and you feel empty, you think that if I just found the right person, I'd feel better, it would complete me. That's a deceptive philosophy. It's a lie of the devil. Only Jesus can fill you. You don't need a relationship. You need Jesus. You need to focus on Him and let Him be your lover. How many of you singles this morning would say, I need to be made complete in Christ? I'm struggling with not feeling loved, with feeling whole. I need God to touch me today. I'd like you just to raise your hand. No one looking around. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? How many others here today? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Any other singles today, you'd say, I really need security in God. I need to run after God and let Him fill me to fullness. Anyone else this morning? I thank you. Anyone else today? Maybe you're married here and you know, you'd say, you know, Craig, I realize that in my marriage, I haven't been living out of completeness. I've been living out of security, insecurity. I've been wanting my kids to make me feel good, or my husband or my wife to make me feel good. And you feel like you're lacking. Maybe you feel like you're the black sheep of God's family. He's discarded you. He kind of ignores you. I mean, yeah, you're saved, but you're not really in the fold. He doesn't really care about you. You're dealing with not being complete and whole and secure in His love. How many of you married this morning would say, I need to feel complete from Jesus in my life? Not from what I accomplish, not from relationships, not from success, not from wealth, not from anything. I need to be complete in Him. Just raise your hand this morning. How many raise your hand this morning? Thank you. I see those hands. I'd like us all to stand together today. We said the word complete means to be filled. And what I want you to do as our worship team sings this song, I want you to lift your hand towards heaven. I want you to think of making like a big cup, a big bowl. And I just want you to begin to say, God, I want you to fill me. I want to find my completeness in you. I want to find joy in you like I've never felt before. I want to make you the head of my life like I've never made you before. God, I just want to love you today. I am my beloved's and He is mine. I just want you to lift your hands this morning. Just begin to worship Him. Begin to love Him this morning. Let God fill you today.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.